is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Thursday, the 5th of July 2018 is LGBT STEM Day. It's a day to recognise marginalised sexualities and gender identities in science, technology, engineering and maths. It aims to help raise awareness and support and strive for increased inclusivity and diversity. In this week's Nature, John Freeman from New York University has written a comment piece looking at the reasons that LGBTQ plus people are dropping out of science. I gave him a call and started by asking him about his own experiences of academia.
I've had a number of experiences in my career as an undergraduate. A professor warned me that I wouldn't get into any PhD programs if I kept looking the way I did. And then also cases where, for example, as a starting out faculty member, when I was interviewing postdoctoral candidates for my lab, and you know, a colleague pulled aside a postdoc candidate for my lab to let him know that I'm gay, just in case it might be a problem. So this is not at all something that is from decades ago, for example. This perspective really is more on how this affects us today.
I mean, what is the state of play then at the moment for people who are LGBTQ plus in STEM? I mean, you say they're dropping out. What's going on?
So research on LGBTQ people in STEM fields is extremely scarce. From the few studies that exist, which have really come out recently, the results are quite sobering. So estimates suggest that LGBTQ people are roughly 20% less represented in STEM fields than expected. Now, studies that can really get at the mechanism a little bit more and say what's going on are those studies that, you know, look at dropout in particular. So there was one study published this year. What they found was that men from sexual minorities who started university specializing in STEM fields were far more likely to drop out of those STEM-focused degrees after 4 years. However, they were more likely to pursue practical research experience and more likely to get involved in labs. And besides that, with this underrepresentation and with this attrition or this dropout, when they do continue on in STEM, it's very clear, recent surveys showing that LGBTQ people report more negative workplace experiences. 69% felt uncomfortable in their departments. So with all this information, what it's suggesting is that, you know, STEM fields are not really being a welcoming environment for LGBTQ people.
You say in your comment that invisibility is a problem for LGBTQ scientists. What did you mean by that?
Being from a sexual or gender minority, being an LGBTQ person, is not visually conspicuous often, in the sense that people often can't tell if someone is LGBTQ. But in science, it's so critical to have, for underrepresented groups, role models and peers and other people that look like you and are like you. And this is something that has been explored a lot with women in STEM fields and those from minority ethnic groups. And so there's a number of reasons how LGBTQ people, when they're in STEM, are not deciding to be visible, and that can be a problem because there's, you know, other LGBTQ scientists and especially trainees and students won't really benefit from a sense of belonging and inclusion that they might feel if they saw visible role models and saw visible peers and other people where it's an implicit signal that this is a community where they, you know, can participate in and belong.
Well, John, what needs to be done to create an inclusive environment for LGBTQ researchers?
So I think a number of steps should be taken. I think that the diversity initiatives of federal funding agencies and of universities widely should really consider including LGBTQ people in an official manner. And that would do a number of things, I think. For one, certainly directly, they would foster LGBTQ representation in STEM fields. It would also send, I think, an official signal to the scientific community that this is a valued form of diversity, LGBTQ people, and that this is a kind of diversity that science cares about and wants to see adequate representation of.
I mean, we can't have this conversation really without mentioning that, of course, it's LGBT STEM Day this week. My question to you, John, is, and obviously that's a big deal, right? It's the first international day. Who is doing good work in this sphere at the moment in terms of raising awareness of the issues and what have you?
There's a lot of good work being done by a number of organizations. So Out in STEM and the National Organization of Gay and Lesbian Scientists and Technical Professionals, and Pride in STEM, and a number of other groups. Recently, there's been a visibility campaign called 500 Queer Scientists Online that's taken place this month, where you know LGBTQ scientists can post their bios and their stories and a photo and kind of and be part of this sort of database where you can see other people. And when I was looking through it, it made me realize how powerful it is and how much of an issue of invisibility it is to see, you know, 500 plus LGBTQ scientists on this website that you can, you know, just Google and get to. Not only is it great for visibility, but also I think in terms of next steps that you know departments could be taking when inviting speakers, you can now go into the database and find these people, and I think that will be really valuable moving forward in trying to be more inclusive and to do all the kind of small and subtle steps to make it a more visible and welcoming environment that we know will lead to positive effects for LGBTQ representation and reduce this dropout rate that we're seeing.
That was John Freeman from New York University. You can read his comment over at nature.com/nature.